Hello children, I'm Mrs. Anjalika Sen, TGT Science from AECS 5, Mumbai. I'm back with Module 3 on Transportation in Human Beings of the lesson Life Processes. Let's begin with slide 1, and this we are continuing with components of blood and their functions. We already discussed about plasma and red blood corpuscles in the previous module. We look at the white blood corpuscles or WBC, or they are also called as leukocytes. As we all know, they fight against infection and protect us from diseases. If we look at them under the microscope, we see they may be round or irregular with a nucleus. And since they have nucleus, their size is larger than the RBC, but in number they are much less. Some of the WBC also make antibodies to fight against the infections, and so they provide immunity in our body. When we look at their function, we see that basically they act as a defense system in the body. We have different types of WBC having their specific functions. For example, neutrophils will attack and engulf the invading bacteria. There are lymphocytes which produce antibodies and thus immunity is improved. There are basophils that secrete anticoagulants. We all know that we have some clotting factors, some clotting cells in our blood, but basophils will produce anti-clotting, so anticoagulant substances that will prevent clotting of blood within the blood vessels. And also we have eosinophils that assist in the defense mechanism as they take up antiparasitic and antibacterial activities. So this is about the WBC or the leukocytes or the white blood corpuscles, and we understand that basically they are the defense system in the body. We look at the blood platelets or the thrombocytes next. These are small, tiny, circular or oval shaped cells. They are found in the bone marrow and are found in the blood. And these are the cells that are very, very important. They lack a nucleus, they are very small in size, but they are very important because they help in coagulation or clotting of blood. So every time we have a cut or there is a wound due to which bleeding is there, these platelets, they help to come and clot the blood, and so it prevents loss of pressure, loss of blood and loss of pressure. So we talked about the WBC, we talked about the blood platelets. Now we move to slide number 2. So first we talked about the heart. Then we talked about the blood and its components. Now we are going to talk about the blood vessels and their functions. These are the three parts we are talking about in our blood circulatory system or the cardiovascular system. In the blood vessels, we are going to see the three types we have and their functions. The first is arteries. Arteries, they carry oxygenated blood away from the heart. We already know that. And there is an exception, pulmonary artery, about which we have talked in detail in module 1, that it is the only artery that carries deoxygenated blood. Now when arteries are carrying this oxygenated blood away from the heart, automatically, since it is coming from the heart, the pressure in the arteries is much higher. So blood in them is flowing under high pressure. When they have high pressure, definitely the walls of the arteries need to be thick and elastic so that they can take that pressure. And when the walls are thick, it's all interlinked, right? So when the walls are thick, the lumen is narrow. Another thing we notice that they do not have any valves. We know that valves are needed to stop the backflow of blood, but here the blood is already flowing at a great pressure, so no need of any valves. And another thing is, they are carrying oxygenated blood, they are carrying blood under great pressure, so they are deep seated so that they can be protected from any damage. So these are the points which we need to remember in arteries, that they carry oxygenated blood, they carry blood under high pressure, they have thick elastic muscular walls, narrow lumen, they do not have any valves, and they are deep seated to protect from damage. In the diagram over there, you can see all these points clearly visible. We go to the second type of a blood vessel, and that is the veins. Now again, we know from the lower classes we have already studied that those vessels which carry back the deoxygenated blood to the heart are called as veins. And again, the exception is pulmonary vein, which is bringing oxygenated blood from the lung to the heart. But all other veins will carry the deoxygenated blood back to the heart. Now they are bringing the blood from all parts of the body and gradually bringing the blood to the heart. So the blood is under low pressure over here. There is no high pressure in the veins. And so they have thin wall. There is no very less pressure or practically very little pressure. So the walls are very thin and the lumen becomes large. Okay. And we see that because they don't have any pressure, they have got valves that help to prevent the backflow of blood so that the blood does not go back in the opposite direction. You can see the diagram very clearly shows you how when the blood is flowing, the valves will open, and as the blood column increases, the valves keep closing because of the weight and the column of blood. The valves keep closing so that the blood cannot move in the opposite direction. So here it is because of the valves that the blood keeps moving towards the heart, and in the arteries it is the pressure which is pushing the blood towards the body. So in veins we remember, and we also notice that they do not have much pressure, so they are superficially seated. Okay, now so in veins we will remember that they carry deoxygenated blood back to the heart, they have low blood pressure, they have got valves to prevent the blood to move back in the opposite direction, they are thin walled, they have a large lumen, and they are mostly superficially seated. We look at the third type of blood vessel, and that is called, the blood vessel is called as capillary. Capillary is, you know, a network like of thin tubules that connect the artery to the vein. Artery and vein. Artery is carrying the oxygenated blood, vein is carrying the deoxygenated blood. So these two have to be connected somewhere, and they are connected by this capillary network. So artery will break, you can look at that diagram over there, artery will break into smaller tubules called arterioles, which continue as the thin tubules called venules, and finally they continue as the veins. So this network is what we call as the capillary network, and each tubule is called as a capillary. Now looking at that capillary we see that they are very very thin, they have only one cell thickness, so that substances can diffuse easily. You can look at that picture over there. They are so thin that very easily, one cell thick only. So oxygen and nutrients can move out into the tissue, and carbon dioxide and waste can come back into the capillary so that it can be carried to the lung and removed, the carbon dioxide. And this capillary will be very close to every cell. So they are, and it is within the tissue so that exchange of substances can take place. And also we see that this capillary, it has the main function of supplying oxygen and food to the tissue and taking away the waste like carbon dioxide. So in the other diagram over here, the next diagram over here, you can see how the exchange is taking place. The artery is bringing the oxygenated blood, and the blood is flowing into the capillary network, into the arteriole. Oxygen in the tissue, oxygen and nutrient is moving into the tissue. And what is happening? The waste and carbon dioxide is coming into the capillary network, into the venule, so the blood is becoming deoxygenated, and then the blood is flowing back, the deoxygenated blood is flowing back to the heart. So this is a diagram showing the capillary very clearly, where we see artery breaks into arteriole, then continues as venule, and then joins to form the vein, and it moves ahead. So this is the capillary network, and this is an important part because it is here in the capillary network that exchange of gases, exchange of nutrient and waste is taking place. With this we come to an end of the blood vessels, and we talked about the heart, and then we talked about the blood, and we talked about the blood vessels. These all make up the circulatory system in the human being. We move, and this ends the circulatory system in the human being. We move to slide number 4, and there we start talking about another type of transportation system, which is called as the lymphatic system. This lymphatic system is a fluid transport system, another type of fluid transport system which is running parallel to our blood vascular system, or it is running parallel to our circulatory system. Okay, now this lymphatic system has again got four components: the lymph, lymphatic capillaries, lymphatic vessels, and the lymph nodes. First, let us understand the components, then we will look at the path of this lymphatic system. Lymph. Lymph is nothing but extracellular fluid that is found in the tissue, or it is tissue fluid, which is having very similar to the composition of blood plasma. Okay, and it is, how does it form? Fluids will seep out of the capillary network into the tissue, and that fluid which is in the tissue, that tissue fluid is called as lymph. It is devoid of RBC, that means it does not have any RBC, and so it is pale yellow in color. What are the lymphatic capillaries? Just like the blood vascular capillaries or the capillary network, there is another set which is called as the lymphatic capillary, which are also very tiny and very thin walled microvessels. But these lymph capillaries, they are not continuous like the blood vascular capillary. These begin from the tissue spaces as blind ended sacs, all right? And the pores in the lymphatic capillaries are slightly larger than the pores in the blood vascular capillary, and that is why the fluid can flow into it, all right? And they have closed ends. And the unique system or the unique structure of the lymphatic capillary is that it will permit the lymph or the tissue fluid to flow into them but not out. That is the lymphatic capillary. We will go into details little later. Then we see the lymphatic vessels. What are the lymphatic vessels? All these lymphatic capillaries will join and they will be forming little larger vessels, which we call as the lymphatic vessels, and these lymphatic vessels will carry the lymph away from the tissues to the heart. Then we have the fourth component, that is the lymph node. Lymph nodes are collection centers. So through these lymph nodes, the lymph will pass, and this lymph node will filter away the microbes and the foreign particles. They produce special WBCs, which are called as lymphocytes, that will engulf and destroy all the microbes and thus enhance the immune system. These are the four components of the lymphatic system. We move to the next slide, slide number 5, and see the path of this lymph in the lymphatic system. Before we go to that, we are going to look at the diagram over there. There you can very clearly see the blood vascular capillary network, and within the blood vascular capillary network, we can see like woven is the lymph capillary and the lymphatic vessels. And we are going to understand what happens. Now, what happens in the lymphatic pathway is that the blood vascular capillary network, when the blood is moving from the artery to the vein and exchange is taking place, there is a certain amount of blood pressure, or there is certain amount of blood pressure there, and because of that, not only exchange is taking place, some amount of the blood plasma gets filtered out, get pushed out into the tissue, and along with it, minerals, nutrients, some less amount of proteins, all that goes into the tissues. So once it goes into the tissues, it definitely nourishes the tissues, yes, but that is a waste. So that has to be taken back into the circulatory system. And this fluid that collects in the tissue, which comes out of the capillary network of our circulatory system, is called as lymph. The red blood cell cannot move out, and that is why the lymph is pale yellow in color. But it does have other nutrients, minerals, and a certain amount of proteins. Now, all this tissue fluid collects in the surrounding tissue, and this lymphatic system actually helps to take back this tissue back into the main bloodstream so that the fluid concentration is maintained in the blood. Now, what happens is the lymphatic capillary, as you can see, is interwoven, and the lymphatic capillaries are blind, they have blind ends. But the pores of the lymphatic capillaries are slightly larger. So the tissue fluid or the lymph that is collected in the tissue will pour in into the lymph capillary through these small minute pores. So from the intercellular spaces, the lymph goes into the lymphatic capillary. Here there is no pressure, it is just that it is pouring in because the minute pores are slightly larger than the pores of the blood vascular system. Now the lymph has collected into the lymphatic capillary and the lymph capillary continues, and you can see it is forming the lymphatic vessel. So the lymph keeps pouring and moving in one direction. So it is trying to go and pour, and the lymphatic capillaries join to form the lymph vessels. They keep flowing till they join the two subclavian veins which are located below the collar bones. And these veins join the superior vena cava, and all the lymph which is flowing only in one direction goes from the tissues to the heart and pours into the heart. So all the fluid that was lost in the tissues is collected by the lymphatic system. That tissue fluid is collected by the lymphatic system and brought back and poured into the heart. This is the path of the lymph. From the tissue, it is unidirectional. From the tissue, it is collecting, lymph capillary collects the tissue fluid. It goes into the lymphatic vessel. From the lymphatic vessel, it keeps going, trying to join the subclavian veins. In the meantime, in the middle, we see the lymph nodes, and these lymph nodes will clean the lymph of these microbes and other bacteria because of the lymphocytes that it is producing. And so the clean lymph will be poured back into the blood vascular system. Now, moving to slide 6, we look at the functions of the lymph or the lymphatic system. What are the functions? First is, lymph will facilitate to absorb the fat and the fat soluble nutrients back to the circulatory system. All that has been lost into the tissue will be taken back into the circulatory system. Second, it will remove the excess fluid from the body. If fluid remains in the body, children, it will cause swelling, and that is edema. For example, children, if we are traveling in a bus or a car, sit in the sitting position for a long time, say 12 hours, 13 hours, many a times you must have noticed that the feet will swell. That is because the tissue fluid gets collected there. You are not moving, and so the tissue fluid cannot come back to the blood vessel through the lymphatic system. Once you get up, you start walking, moving, or raise your leg, the tissue fluid is again poured back into the blood vascular system. So this lymphatic system functions in removing this excess fluid. And third is, because of the lymphocyte that it is producing in the lymph node, it increases the immune cells. It increases the body's immunity system. So these are the three functions of the lymphatic system. Here the diagram shows you how in the circulation, you can see the green color lymphatic capillary. It's like woven into the blood vascular capillary system. And you can see how the fluid that is coming out of the blood capillary into the tissue fluid is again pouring back into the lymphatic capillary so that it can be collected. We move to the next slide, and here we can see a schematic diagram of the entire lymphatic system. Children, you can see that the blood vascular system is circulatory. It moves in circle, continuous circles. But the lymphatic system is just a transport system. It is not circulating, right? What is happening is, in the tissue, you can see down there in the capillary network, tissue fluid is lost. The plasma is lost, and the tissue fluid is collected by the lymphatic capillaries, and it moves on to join the larger lymphatic vessels. On the way, you can see the lymph nodes. And in the lymph node, the lymphocytes are produced, the special type of WBC, which is filtering and cleaning the lymphatic fluid or the lymph. And then this lymph is gradually moving ahead. They are joining the collecting ducts. Finally, it goes and joins the subclavian vein just below the collar bone. And then the subclavian vein will join the superior vena cava. And all this tissue fluid that had been lost is again taken and poured into the blood vascular system, into the right auricle along with the deoxygenated blood. So the fluid that was lost from the blood is again poured back into the blood. This is the lymphatic system. We come to an end to the blood vascular system and the lymphatic system. So I end the module 3 here. In the next module, we will talk about the transport system in plants. Thank you, children.